Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I googled it on Twitter. I thought maybe, you know, I'd ask fans.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
It's so positive, and you know, people are so happy to put their names on everything they write.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, let's do a little hockey here. Mr. Hamilton is going to have a busy week. He is joining us on the Westher Hotline. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Ray Laxanda. Ray Lax, we got this. Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Happy draft week.
Thank you.
Have to adjust my calendar to, you know, July 1st is usually free agency. The draft has already happened, and I'm just, it's messing with my head. But I'm adjusting accordingly. So before we get to the draft, let me ask you, let's start with Victor Olofsson, and then we'll get into goalies a little bit. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet did his 32 thoughts over the weekend. His blurb on the Sabres included that things are progressing. They're making progress on an extension for Victor Olofsson. From what Kevin Adams said last week with you guys, that seemed to be the case, right? I think he was having another talk was coming up soon with Olofsson's agent. By the way, Claude Lemieux. So let's start there. What do you think the plan is in terms of signing Victor Olofsson? Long-term, short-term, what are they doing?
Yeah, I talked to Adams about that last Tuesday, and he said he was going to meet with Lemieux in Montreal. So, you know, we had reported that a week ago on Tuesday that, you know, they had planned on meeting and they had been talking. So, you know, things were moving along and I don't know. I don't know if I see a long-term deal here. I see maybe a 2 or 3 year deal possibly, you know, to avoid arbitration, it's going to have to be, Fiala just got over $7 million, and their goals per game are identical, you know, in throughout their career. So, it's a weird one, you know. I mean, he's coming off a 2 year $6.1 million deal. You know, I think, you know, somewhere around 5.5-6 probably is. Minimum is what it's going to take. And the Fiala deal, I don't think, helped the Sabres' cause.
Yeah, Fiala, Paul, just went over 30 for the first time. I'm looking at Olofsson's stats. You know, when you say it's interesting, it might be a little tough. I'm going to give you a stat that maybe might encapsulate why it's tough. Last year was the first time his even strength goals outnumbered his power play goals.
Yeah. And I remember last year, you know, he started off real well, and he was playing pretty good two-way hockey, too. He wasn't a liability on defense, which he had been throughout most of his career. And then the injury came, and even when he came back, not only did he have trouble scoring, but that two-way game went away again. He wasn't he wasn't any good in his own zone either. And then about the last month or month and a half, the goals started coming back, and he started playing better again. You know, he wasn't a liability in his own zone. You noticed him along the wall trying to get into battles. You noticed him around the net, which, you know, isn't usually, even in past years, that wasn't his thing. He basically would have cruised the offensive zone with his stick cocked in the air waiting for a one-timer, and scored, as you just mentioned, most of his goals, or a lot of his goals, in the power play.
And Paul, he strikes me as, you know, he's been a nice story, of course. His shot, the one thing you're mentioning, he does that at an elite level. And for a long time, you know, his even strength play left something to be desired. So I think with the Sabres, they're kind of at a crossroads here. Do you identify him as a player worth $5 to $6 million that is also, you know, you said not that long term, but fits with your team identity, however you want to say a team identity is built? Like, that's the next step for Kevin Adams and Don Granato here. The identity has been, well, they're young. But now it's got to take some form of what they're going to be when they're not young. And Olofsson is the kind of talented player that you have to make a call on. Is this guy a part of it, or is he a piece that could be used to get someone who maybe is a better part of it?
Exactly. And the thing is, that's what they have to evaluate is what they saw at the end of the season a mirage, or is that Victor Olofsson? Is that the player he's going to become now? And that's what they have to look at, because it's, you know, he's never done it for a full season. And, you know, moving forward. So that's what you, all right, you say to yourself, we really believe in him. You know, we are willing to maybe go for 4 years on it, or 5 years, something like that. Or do we give him another 2 or 3 year deal and then look at it that way and think, well, Quinn and Paterka probably, you know, will be rounding into what they should be by then, and maybe it would be time for Olofsson to move on. You know, it'd be interesting to hear what they're really thinking behind closed doors in the future of him, and what Olofsson can do in the future.
What would you do if you're the GM? Would you identify him as part of the core, so to speak?
I want to see it again. I think I'd be looking at a 1 or 2 year deal to, you know, whatever it would take to get out of arbitration. But I'd want to see it again. I don't know if I would trust it yet.
The other thing that Friedman wrote about is basically something that Kevin Adams said multiple times last week. You heard it in the one-on-one with you. You heard it in the press conference. The report was the Sabres are basically talking to about everybody, looking at all possible options when it comes to the goalie market.
Yeah, and that didn't stop just because they signed Anderson, which is an indication to me that their plan is to get another goaltender and have Luukkonen start in Rochester. So we'll see. You know, the prices are high. I would expect they would be, because the season basically had just ended and teams aren't going to, you know, start with their best offer. You know, they're going to ask for a lot if you want to trade for a goaltender to start with, and then that's when a negotiation starts as far as a trade negotiation. So prices are high now. That doesn't surprise me in the least, but they are still in on all of it and still looking.
Paul with us on the Western Hotline. You got the Sabres question, comment, opinion. You can always join us at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. So the draft starts on Thursday. This is the first in-person draft for Kevin Adams. I don't know if that you think that matters at all. I mean, everything's been Zooms. Now you're on the floor, you're walking around, you're talking to GMs. Could that lead to more activity? How do you think that impacts anything when it comes to whatever happens over the next few days come Thursday?
He says it does matter. He said there's nothing like face-to-face conversations that you can have, where you can just get up and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody. He goes, nothing replaces that. So he said, you know, something like that will matter. He's very excited about it,
mm-hmm.
You know, his first in-person draft like that. So, you know, he's definitely looking forward to it. And I think everybody around the league, because it's getting back to more normalcy again, you know, and just another thing that is getting back to what is normal for the National Hockey League and that type of thing. So I think the league is looking forward to it, although they have a commissioner who just finished, you know, with COVID. As I had reported that night, you know, he just couldn't, you know, he had gotten COVID, and they had kept it pretty much under wraps. I had found out about it, and as soon, I wasn't able to report it until I had agreed to wait until, you know, the Trophy was getting onto the ice, so that's when I did report it. And so, you know, it's COVID's still around. We all know that. And the commissioner of the league is just finished having it. But, you know, it's nice to still move forward and start getting back to more normal things.
So the Sabres have three picks. Let's talk about the possibility of what that could lead to. Now, the easy answer is they might just stay where they are and take all three picks. But they also have them kind of spaced apart, Paul. There's a top 10 pick. If you're looking more middle of the draft to do something, they're sitting at, what, 16? They're also at the back end of round one. So how much do you think three or even the location of the picks could help if they're looking to move around, trade it, use it as an asset?
Well, they talked a lot about if we draft at nine. They kept saying that during the press conference. And, you know, I think, you know, if they could get a big winger like Slafkovský and he's there and they could get up there for that, I think that would be something I think they would explore. Question is, what is the price of that? You know, they too have a value chart, you know, and as they would look at that, all right, what would it cost us to get up there? You know, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking, all right, if the Devils are willing to part with number two and you want to get up there, it's probably going to cost, well, definitely going to cost you nine, probably either 16 or 28, and I would think maybe a second-round pick. Now, you've got three of them next year. You know, they've got 41. The Devils might want 41. I would just want maybe my second-round pick this year, and I would say something like, all right, I'll give you the highest one of the three next year. That comes up. So that's just what I was thinking in my mind. If you were going to move up to two, what's it going to take to get there? Does that get you there? I don't know, but I would think that would get you close.
The idea of a draft chart, I didn't realize that. We talk about that with the NFL a lot, right? Like if you're going to move up or down in round one, there's an actual points chart. Okay, each pick has a certain number of points, 200, 300, 400, whatever. And you make a move, you add up, you look at your chart. Okay, here's what I got to have coming back. The NHL has one too, I guess, from what Adams was saying, but it's each individual team. Like there's no league points value chart for picks.
That's true of the NFL too.
Oh, they have their own? Oh, I thought that was a general chart.
Yeah. I mean, each team's going to have their own value, and it would change given in a given year. The one thing about the NHL chart, I think, that would be different than the NFL is that it'd be much more skewed to the top. The value at the top of the NHL draft is much higher than the value at the top of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, this year where I think there's a drop-off after you get through three players. And personally for me, not that I would want Shane Wright or Logan Cooley on my team, but the Sabres do have young centers, and I don't know if I would want to pay that price for a center. So for me, I'd be looking for that big winger. And Adam said that. He goes, you got to be careful. He goes, you know, if you're going to move up, you probably have a guy in mind, and your guy has to be there, you know, so if they want to make a trade with the Devils and they're looking at whatever guy they're looking at number two, they probably don't want to make the move until Montreal has made their pick, you know, and make sure the guy that they're targeting is there if you want to make that trade.
So, Paul, you think that the potential to move up for this player exists?
Well, the Devils have drafted up high for a while now. They've got a couple of the number one overall picks. They drafted Hughes fourth overall last year. And you know, so they've got a pretty good stable there. So I think the conversation could be had, although they could probably use a winger too.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so, you know, Hischier and Hughes are two that they drafted that are centermen, so they probably could use a winger too. So, you know, they might be of the feeling too, well, if Montreal takes Slafkovský, then we'd be willing to trade, type of a thing. You know, but I don't think you can. I don't think Montreal is going to trade out. I don't think Arizona is going to trade out. So if you have any chance of getting up there, I would think it would be with New Jersey.
I love this time of year because, again, you have to try and figure out what's legit and what's smokescreen. And with the top two teams that you just mentioned, so I read Well, first with Montreal. Now, there's another story out again today. The Canadiens have three guys they're considering for the number one pick. They haven't made up their mind. And then the New Jersey narrative is that they love Slafkovský, B, have center depth. So they would definitely want Slafkovský in. And is it are they trying to get Montreal to call them, make a trade, do this, do that? So I think it's kind of interesting. You're sitting here talking about, could the Sabres move up? Could they get this guy? Supposedly the Devils love him at two, and Montreal at one still has this kid in consideration of one, three guys they might take.
Yeah, would the Devils like, hey, wait a minute, we could get nine and we could get 28 out of this. And going back to nine isn't that big of a deal type of a thing if they look at it that way, if the Sabres really wanted to get up there. So, it would just be what kind of value does Fitzgerald put on it? And, you know, it is going back to number nine that big a deal for him?
This is a little bit different. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the draft and depth in the organization. It's not the same thing, obviously, as the NFL, where you can draft guys and, you know, as rookies, they can come in and contribute, maybe start, whatever. But having said that, is there an area, a position in the organization you think they would be, they're a little thin in numbers, they might want to stock up at this particular spot, or does that not even matter in an NHL draft?
Well, absolutely on D. They don't really have young D anymore. You know, they have Johnson, but they can't sign him as of yet. Are they going to be able to sign him? He would pretty much be the only young defenseman that they have in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got the six that finished last year up in Buffalo, who are all young defensemen. But after that, it's basically Johnson and Laxinen. Laxinen fell out of favor last year in the playoffs. There were a lot of holes in his game, and he only played two games in the playoffs last year, and he's a young player. And they wanted their young players to get experience, and that did not include him. So I'm basically thinking he's not part of the future for this team. So, they're very short on young defensemen. And that's something you could address in the draft to try to strengthen your depth going forward.
Now, you know, when you sat down with Kevin Adams, I think it might have been your first question, but I know you brought this up. In his role as general manager, how much scouting does he do? Does he video scout? Does he go out on the road? Like, we would hear from him this past season. He would, you know, he talked about how he went to Michigan. You know, he went to go see Owen Power, Eric Portillo. So he was going out and seeing guys in person. How much does he do in terms of the draft preparation himself?
He does do some scouting, because there were times where we were trying to get ready to talk to him, the pregame show when he used to stop by once a month. And mm-hmm. we had to, we can't do it this day because he's scouting. You know, he's out looking at players and that type of thing. So, yeah, he does. I think they do target some people, and then he goes out and starts looking at them. You know, now he doesn't go running over to Europe and scouting those guys during the season and that type of thing. So he'll do some video scouting then. But he said he's you know, this time of year, you know, especially once the season starts, he dives right in, and there are a lot of things that he does go over from a video scouting standpoint. But, yes, during the season, there are guys that he targets that he wants to go see personally.
And then the other thing I want to ask you about is, you know, in terms of the board and how they set things up, one of the – I forget which – we were talking to one of the NHL draft guys we've had on recently, Paul, and, you know, it's the old $64,000 question. What do teams do with Russian players? Where do they go on their board? Do they evaluate them strictly from the hockey playing standpoint? What about the uncertainty of what's going on over there, and are these guys? What happens to them in their careers? So what happens with the Russian players in this draft?
Well, when I chatted with Kevin about that, he said that they're going to do their board like they normally would. It's just, all right, he told Jerry Fortin and the scouts, do your board. Well, don't think about anything else other than each player and how they rate. All right, we'll get our board together. Now on draft day, if it becomes, all right, the best value is player A from Russia, he goes, then we will discuss it. He goes, it has to be a conversation. There's no question about it. He goes, you can't ignore it. But he said that's when we'll look at. But he said, I don't want them looking. He goes, I want the board to be a true board. And then once you get the board, then you can talk about it. All right, what are we going to do if this guy is the guy? Is it somebody that we're going to be able, if we can, we, you know, you look at what's going on over there. You look at how much you were able to see him, although Jerry Fortin said a lot of the Russian players, including him, they were able to get over and see somewhat. But remember, a lot of tournaments they weren't allowed to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, so, you know, they didn't get the viewings of Russian players that they normally would because Russian players and Russian teams were not allowed in some of those tournaments.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, quick thought on Mike Greer. There are various reports saying that he's going to be named the new GM of the San Jose Sharks today, which would make history. He'd be the first black GM in the history of the National Hockey League. But you covered his career. You got to know him a little bit. What are your thoughts on Mike Greer as a GM?
I think he would be a fantastic GM. I mean, you could stand at his locker and talk hockey with him, and he was just so smart in talking hockey. And you'd sit there and say to yourself, oh, wow, yeah, you know, that's that type of thing. And I always felt he could get into coaching. He could get into a GM type of a position. His brother is, in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
At least he is very close to somebody who has had the job. Is not necessarily in hockey, but I think he, with the knowledge that he has of hockey, when I was able to talk to him face to face, I think he'd be a fantastic GM.
Very good. All right, Mr. Hamilton, we will be talking with you over the course of the week. Thank you, as always, for your time, sir.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Paul will be in Paul's going to be in Hamilton. Paul Hamilton will be in Montreal. I mean, he can go to Hamilton, but I don't think that's he'll be in Montreal for the draft, which, of course, starts Thursday. We will have coverage, extensive coverage here on WGR. Thursday night, it begins at 7, hosted by Brian Koziel. The NHL draft on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Bath Fitter, improve your bath in one day with Bath Fitter. It just fits. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used car and truck parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.